Well, they did it. They put the title on the fucking Miz. This is your Elimination Chamber 2021 recap. I am... Who am I? I don't even know who I am. I'm the Solo Monster. Jesus Christ, I don't even know my own name. What more can be said? What more can be said? The man who has been pushed around on television now for weeks by Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is the 24/7 champion. This apparently is a big deal to a lot of people. Bad Bunny is carrying the title that R-Truth and Akira Tozawa have been carrying around with them. He has stood up to The Miz. Tonight, he smacked the taste right out of The Miz's mouth. And The Miz is now, once again, WWE champion. The Miz lost his Money in the Bank briefcase a few months ago, and I was like, phew, all right. Enough of that. What a waste of a briefcase that turned out to be. First, they put it on Otis. They didn't know what to do with it. Then they put it on Miz. I thought we were done with that, but no. Oh, no. Adam Pearce says, no, I'm going to give The Miz back. He didn't lose the briefcase fairly. John Morrison cashed in. Can't do that. So The Miz got his briefcase back. And you knew at that point that there had to be a reason why they gave it back to him. But surely they wouldn't put the title on a joke character this close to WrestleMania. There was a time when The Miz actually was a somewhat credible contender on the roster. In fact, Miz had a memorable run as the Intercontinental Champion. That's around the area where he should be right now. But they had to figure out, what do we do? What do we do to shake things up? What do we do to get people excited? What do we do to get people interested heading into WrestleMania? The Miz is your new WWE champion by way of Money in the Bank cash-in. We're going to get into this whole show. We have a lot to get into here. For what otherwise wasn't really a terrible show. I mean, there was actually some really good wrestling on the show. I thought both chamber matches were very good. There wasn't really a big undercard to begin with. So really, if you just kind of go by the chamber matches, then this was a very good pay-per-view. Until whatever it was that they did there at the end. And I don't know that I would necessarily be as perplexed by this if The Miz was not treated on television like someone who we are not supposed to take seriously. And it goes back to even when he was challenging Braun Strowman last year. Remember, him and Morrison were challenging Braun Strowman handicap match. Braun Strowman beat the piss out of both of them. These two guys have their place on the roster, but they really were not meant to be taken seriously at a high level. I mean, how could you? So how did this all unfold? What went down here? How did this all come about? We're going to get into all that. We got to talk about Keith Lee, because Keith Lee was supposed to, he was scheduled to be one of Bobby Lashley's opponents tonight for the United States Championship. It was going to be a triple threat match. It was going to be Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and Bobby Lashley. There was a triple threat match, but there was no Keith Lee. And there were reports and rumors going into the show that Lee might be removed from the match. We didn't know why. We didn't know if it was some kind of medical issue, if there was some other issue going on. We still don't know. It is believed that there may be an injury reason for him not being on the show. He wasn't even backstage. So Keith Lee was not even at the building. He was removed from the match. And already, you know, I was getting tweets earlier and I was getting questions from people asking me, you know, is this the end of Keith Lee? He's being buried. Look at this. They're pulling him from the show. If Keith Lee was going to be buried by the company, if people think that Keith Lee being pulled from the show tonight is him being buried, don't you think if the company wanted to bury him, and for what reason, I don't fucking even know why they would do that, don't you think they would just keep him in the match and let him take the losing fall and just job him out? I mean, come on, use your heads. Use common sense. I'm not saying that Keith Lee's run so far has been underwhelming or hasn't been underwhelming. It has been supremely underwhelming ever since he came up from NXT. In fact, this week right here marks 6 months, I believe, to the week since Keith Lee made his official main roster debut. I know he was in the Royal Rumble match last year, but that doesn't count. Since he was called down to the main roster, it has been 6 months. So let's do the 6 month Keith Lee evaluation. Let's do the 6 month Keith Lee report card here before we move on. What have we seen from Keith Lee since coming down to the main roster, since joining the Monday Night Raw roster? Well, early on in his run, he got a win over Randy Orton. on a pay-per-view. So that's something, right? That's something to hang your hat on. Of course, it feels like a million years ago. Randy Orton is the one who's wrestling for the WWE title in the Elimination Chamber. Not Keith Lee, so I'm not really sure exactly what that win did for him, but he did get a win over Randy Orton. He's gotten some wins on TV. He's gotten some losses on TV. Then the reports that he was being sent to these big man classes because Vince McMahon or the company's, you know, not thrilled about the way that he works and not thrilled about this or thrilled about that. They changed his music. And again, that might have been something that was unavoidable. Who knows with the copyright issues and stuff? Who knows? But I think it's safe to say that 6 months in, Keith Lee's run on the main roster, I didn't expect him to come in and win the world title, but it has been very underwhelming. And whatever is going on with him right now, hopefully it's nothing serious if it is an injury. But no, he was not pulled from the show tonight because Vince McMahon doesn't like him. If Vince McMahon doesn't like him, that's a totally different issue. That has nothing to do with him not being on the show tonight. He wasn't on TV last week either, so something else is going on. But again, use your head. They wanted to bury the guy. You don't bury the guy by pulling him off the show. You keep him on the show and you job him out. This is just common sense. But to replace Keith Lee in the U.S. title match tonight, they put together a random fatal four-way on the kickoff show with John Morrison, Ricochet, Elias, and Mustafa Ali that John Morrison won in about 7 minutes. Not much to it. Ricochet landed a 450 on Ali, had him beat when T-Bar and Mace yanked him off. Ricochet did a flipping dive out onto them. They caught him and powerbombed him into the ring post. That took care of Ricochet. Morrison then rolled up Ali for the win because why the fuck not? I mean, we all know what the deal is at Retribution. They are not to be taken seriously. Well, actually, I said that about Miz and Morrison, and now Miz is the fucking WWE champion. So by that logic, I would expect T-Bag or Slapdick or Mustafa Ali, hey, they might win the title in a few weeks. We might have Mustafa Ali as WWE champion going into WrestleMania. Hey, anything's possible. This felt like they needed someone for Matt Riddle to pin in the triple threat match coming up later in the show, because why not? I mean, Keith Lee is not in the match. Why not just make it a singles match? Keith Lee is out of the match. He's injured. So we're just going to do Lashley one-on-one with Matt Riddle. They've had an issue now on television for a number of weeks. Every single week, it seems like Lashley is putting him in the Hurt Lock and ragdolling him around. So it was pretty apparent that the fact that they even had to rush to put this match together meant that whoever was going to win was probably going to be taking the losing fall to protect Bobby Lashley. And that's exactly the way it played out during the pay-per-view. That's the only reason Morrison got added to that match. Speaking of matches or things that we were supposed to see but did not on this show, the Raw Women's title match with Asuka defending against Lacey Evans did not take place. We all knew it wasn't going to take place. I don't know why they continued to advertise the match. The match, as late as this afternoon, was still being advertised on WWE.com. I don't understand the point of that. And people aren't going to make a big deal about that, but, you know, false advertising is a big deal. How hard is it? Take it off your fucking website. They were still advertising the match 5 days, 6 days after the woman went on television Monday night and announced that she was pregnant. And she is legitimately pregnant, so there was no women's title match tonight. They were still contemplating, according to Wrestling Inc., having a match for Asuka on the show. I don't know, maybe they would have slipped Peyton Royce in there to take her spot. But as late as half an hour before the pay-per-view went on the air tonight, there were still plans to possibly put Asuka on the show and have her defend the women's title. So that is how down to the wire it came as far as whether or not Asuka was or was not going to be on the pay-per-view. Pay-per-view went off the air quite a bit early tonight. Actually, that was one of the positive things about the show. It felt like a takeover. I like the length of those NXT TakeOver shows. I could get used to that. I know WrestleMania is going to be the complete opposite. But I would not mind if these WWE main roster shows started to go off the air around the same time. 9:30, 9:35. I'm okay with that. That's why it took me a while. I didn't expect them to go off the air so soon. I had to get myself together here. And I was still in the state of shock over what I had just seen at the end of this pay-per-view. So they didn't know what the fuck they were doing, and ultimately they decided, finally, they made up their minds, Asuka was not on the show tonight. So there was no Raw Women's Championship match Asuka, yeah, Mecca in the chat mentions that Asuka was trending on Twitter. I did notice that, and I think it was just a lot of people who were very upset when they found out that Asuka was not going to be on the show. Asuka's name was trending on Twitter there for a while. Woman didn't even show up tonight. The pay-per-view opened with the SmackDown Chamber match. Winner would challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title later in the show. It was Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and Baron Corbin. Sami Zayn was the star of this. Sami Zayn was the MVP of this match. He was the soundtrack of the Chamber match tonight. And it helped because this is the first Chamber pay-per-view we've ever had in the Thunderdome. No live fans. So, I mean, they pipe in all the audio, but you can generally pick up on a lot of the sounds and trash talking in the ring anyway. But it looked like they had microphones inside each pod, which they may have done before. But it's even more amplified with no fans being in the building. So you heard a little bit from different guys during the course of the match. But Sammy was just nonstop chatter, would not shut up. He was very upset when they said his documentary crew, who came out with him, had to go to the back. And he couldn't do anything about it because he was already locked in the pod. He was trying to get Corey Graves' attention. But I thought Sammy was very entertaining. So Daniel Bryan, in his fifth Elimination Chamber match, opened the match with Cesaro in his third. Baron Corbin was in next. He was picking up Bryan, ramming him knee first into some of the pods. And again, Sammy was great here. He was yelling for them to keep Corbin away from him, keep this guy away from me. Sammy was the next one in. He held the pod door closed because he didn't want Corbin to get to him. So Corbin's trying to get in. Sammy is holding the door shut. But what he doesn't realize is that the other side of the pod apparently is open. Or it was opened, and Cesaro just walked on in. So Cesaro walked right into the pod and started beating him up. Cesaro chased Sammy up onto one of the pods, and Sammy was starting to climb across the chains, because there's a metal beam in the middle, so it's like walking the ledge of a building. He's trying to get away from Cesaro, so he's crawling his way across the beam, and Cesaro is coming after him. Finally, Cesaro knocks him down with a double stomp. And then, just to show off, Cesaro grabs the chains on the top of the chamber, the very top of the giant structure, and he begins to do pull-ups, because Cesaro is fucking awesome. So he's just showing off. Cesaro swing to Baron Corbin into the sharpshooter, and Baron Corbin taps out. Up to this point, liked what they were doing. Kevin Owens was in next. Sami Zayn stopped him, and he implored him. He said, look, please, you and I, we have a history together. We need to work together. You and I against Bryan and Cesaro. Come on. We have to be united here. Let's work together. Kevin Owens, though, was not interested. He rammed Sammy into one of the pods instead. Owens hit a cannonball. Actually, hit cannonballs onto all three men in the match. One in each corner, Bryan, Cesaro, and Zayn. Jey Uso was sitting in his pod watching. Pop-up uppercut by Cesaro takes out Sami Zayn. Running knee by Bryan takes out Cesaro. Owens takes out Bryan with the pop-up powerbomb. So they had the sequence where everybody hit their signature move, or one of their signature moves. All four guys are down. Jey Uso was the last man in. He and Owens went right after each other. How many times did Jey Uso screw Kevin Owens out of the WWE title, right? Or Universal title. So Kevin Owens hit a moonsault off the top of one of the pods, wipes out all five other men, stunner to Bryan, stunner to Cesaro. Sammy misses the Huluva kick. He eats a stunner inside the ring, and Kevin Owens pins Sami Zayn. So I was a little sad to see Sammy go at that point. So as the referee opens the chamber door to allow Sami Zayn to exit the cage, Kevin Owens had been, I think he had his eyes raked by Jey Uso, and he happened to just fall in a position where his arm was in the doorway. So Jey Uso grabs the door, slides the door shut right onto Kevin Owens' arm, and he is just torturing this guy. Owens is screaming in pain. His arm is trapped in the door. Finally, Jey Uso knocks him backwards back into the chamber, hits the Samoan splash, and eliminates Kevin Owens. Thanks for coming, Kevin Owens. that's the end of Kevin Owens. I there's no appetite left, not for me, to see Kevin Owens doing anything with Roman Reigns. I mean, their feud was already done. It was beating a dead horse. I mean, if Kevin Owens had won the match, he was going to go on and lose again. You know, I mean, he's lost at every single turn. And it was a good program. He and Roman Reigns, aside from the finish of their last match, that last man standing match, had some really great matches together. Those two work really well together. But it was not Kevin Owens' time. Roman Reigns should not be dropping the Universal title. Not now. And I don't think at WrestleMania either. But that's it. Kevin Owens has exhausted every opportunity that he has had. Couldn't even beat Jey Uso in the chamber. I don't want to see Kevin Owens going after Roman Reigns anymore. Beating a dead dog, it's over. Kevin Owens now has to move on to something else. Maybe it's a heel turn. But he and Roman Reigns, that's it. It's over. No more. So now we're down to three. Jey Uso, Daniel Bryan, and Cesaro. Final three. Cesaro swings back and forth. He's got Jey Uso swinging him back and forth, ramming his head into the side of the cage, ping-ponging him back and forth. Bryan and Cesaro, they had a nice little offensive flurry. Bryan was heavily favoring his knee all throughout the match, right from the very beginning, favoring a knee injury. Gut buster by Cesaro to Bryan from the middle rope on the inside. Cesaro swing to the one bad knee. So he gave Bryan a swing, only had him by one leg, and it was the bad leg. And he's swinging him around, but he turns around right into a super kick from Jey Uso. Uso goes up top, hits the Samoan splash, and Cesaro is eliminated. And that was unfortunate. That surprised me. That surprised me. I had Cesaro winning and then getting screwed out of a win against Roman Reigns at the in their title match. Figured Seth Rollins would get involved. Rollins kind of teased it on TV on Friday night. He name drops Cesaro. He has an issue with him. There were a lot of things on this show, frankly, that surprised me. And I'm not saying it's good or bad one way or the other that we didn't get all this interference. But the fact that we didn't have any kind of Rollins involvement, whether Cesaro won here or not, that surprised me. The fact that, I mean, they had such a, it was a gimme with Kofi and Mustafa Ali getting involved at some point, maybe even before the chamber and taking his spot. I mean, the story was there to tell. And I should have known after Ali got jobbed out on the kickoff show that it wasn't going to happen. They did nothing with Retribution. Kofi got into the chamber and that was it. And then Randy Orton is in the chamber in the main event. No Fiend, no Alexa Bliss, no mention of them. Not even a flickering light. Nothing. That was very weird. There were a lot of stories that they could have pushed forward on this show and they were all just kind of ignored. The one that really bothered me, though, was the Kofi and Ali one, because that just should have been a gimme, and they didn't take it. But Cesaro is gone, and Daniel Bryan now is left with his bad knee, because that's how they do things in WWE. You know, when the babyface is in a situation like this, you always have a built-in injury as an excuse for when they inevitably lose. But it came down to Bryan and Jey Uso, and Daniel Bryan finished off Jey Uso with a running knee, and so Daniel Bryan would earn a Universal title match against Roman Reigns. I figured it would come later on in the show. This was a very good match, by the way. I would go 4 out of 5 on the opening chamber, went about 35 minutes. The champion, though, was not interested in waiting, and so out comes Roman Reigns, and he's ready right now for the Universal title match. He's ready to go. He comes out with Paul Heyman. Reigns immediately goes for the spear. Bryan, though, counters it into a yes lock. Michael Cole on commentary is freaking out. Michael Cole is talking about he's going to win the title. And so, you know what that means. You know what that means. Daniel Bryan was not going to win the WWE title. Thank you, Michael Cole. Thank you, as always. So Reigns fought out of it. Not that we thought he was going to win anyway, but at least don't make it so obvious. Reigns fought out of it, muscled Bryan up for a powerbomb. So Bryan is out. I mean, you could tell he's out of it. Roman locks on the guillotine. He's got him in the choke. Bryan's not moving. He's not reacting. His eyes are closed. The referee calls for the bell. This didn't go longer than, I think, a minute. Somewhere in that range. Maybe a minute it went. I mean, the outcome was never in doubt. And now I guess what they've done here is they have set up a title match at Fastlane on March 21st between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. I mean, that would seem to be the most likely direction that they would go in. They would do the match there, probably have Cesaro occupied with Seth Rollins. I could see that being the Fastlane match. The WrestleMania match, I think, is going to be Bryan and Rollins. So that occupies Bryan for the next pay-per-view. That occupies Cesaro. That all seems to make sense. As Roman was celebrating, Edge came out of nowhere, hit him with a spear, returning the favor for what Roman did to him at the end of SmackDown on Friday night. And Edge immediately points to the frickin' sign. He points up to the WrestleMania sign. I'm going to have one installed in here. I'll have one installed. We'll have it on the side of the wall. And so every year around this time, when I end every stream, I'll be sure to point. Point to the WrestleMania sign. But not only did he point to the WrestleMania sign, after he pointed to the WrestleMania sign, he got this big pyro explosion. Like he had just won the championship at WrestleMania. Well, I hope he enjoyed it. I hope he enjoyed his pyro celebration, because I don't think he's getting one at the end of WrestleMania this year. Roman Reigns should be walking in as the champion. Roman Reigns should be walking out as the champion. So that might have been Edge's big pyro celebration. He might have gotten it tonight. I don't think it's happening at WrestleMania. But I really wish they would have held off on Daniel Bryan. And look, mate, I'm jumping the gun here. We don't know for sure what they're going to do. But just based on what they did tonight, it looks as if we're going to get Bryan and Reigns again in a formal match. Fastlane would be the time to do it, based on what they did tonight and how far away we are from WrestleMania. And I wish they would have held off. I wish they would have held off on doing that match and didn't just blow it off tonight and immediately set up the likely rematch at the next pay-per-view. Because not only do I think that it's going to be worthy of its own build, its own post-WrestleMania program, but it takes away some of the drama. If you do Bryan and Reigns at Fastlane, you could always have some kind of disputed finish and maybe Bryan works his way into the match. I don't think it wouldn't be a good match having Bryan and Edge and Reigns. But that shouldn't be the match. The title match at WrestleMania should be one-on-one. And if I'm Edge, I don't want Daniel Bryan in the match because I won the Royal Rumble. That doesn't earn me the right to a triple threat match. It earns me the right to a title match one-on-one. So, you know, it's not going to be Daniel Bryan getting his match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Save it for after Mania. If Roman comes out of that show as the champion, as I think he should, Daniel Bryan could be first in line. But now it looks like they're not waiting, and they're going to go right into it. It takes some of the drama away from the match if they do it now at Fastlane, because a lot of people are going to figure they're not going to change the title. They're not taking the title of Roman Reigns at Fastlane. What are you, out of your fucking mind? After all this time, you're going to take the title off him at Fastlane? So it takes some of the drama, I think, when you finally do get to the big match with Reigns and Bryan. So I don't like that. I think that's a mistake. But the chamber match itself, I thought, was very good. Sonya Deville was in the back with Bad Bunny, admiring his SNL appearance from last night. The Miz showed up. You know, the guy who now walks around as the WWE champion. The Miz showed up to confront Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny mocked him for not even having a match on the card tonight. And the Miz shoved him. The Rabbit then slapped him across the face. And what did the Miz do in reaction to this? Well, he pretended like he was going to do something, but when he turned around, he saw Damian Priest. And Bad Bunny was hiding behind Damian Priest. And the Miz thought better of it, and he walked away. And that was the entire segment. The Miz backed down. He backed down from Bad Bunny. Your WWE champion. Bobby Lashley against Matt Riddle and John Morrison triple threat match for the United States Championship. MVP was limping around. He was on crutches. He had injured himself on Raw this past Monday night. He denies these reports that were out there about the fact that he had driven or flown himself to Birmingham the next day to have his injury evaluated. He went on Twitter and said, you can't believe the dirt sheets, they're always wrong. Although, I didn't hear an actual denial in there about that. So, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but obviously, he's well enough to limp around on crutches. Hopefully, it's not serious. Another reason why I don't think MVP should be in the ring. Not that injuries can't happen to anybody, just that I think MVP's real value is as the leader of the Hurt Business on the outside of the ring. I don't really see the need for MVP to be an active wrestler on television. He should just be managing Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. That's the role that he excels in. I think people are, waiting around to see the next big MVP match. Now the poor guy's hurt. So Lashley was destroying these two. I mean, he was just tossing them around like garbage. Riddle and Morrison finally decided to work together, 2-on-1. They were roughing up Lashley, double-teaming him in the corner. Lashley came right back with a single-arm spinebuster on Morrison. He dumped Riddle with a slam. Lashley was acknowledging MVP, gave him a fist bump. Charged at Matt Riddle, who was able to dump Lashley out of the ring. Morrison and Riddle, they took turns hitting Lashley with some offense out on the floor. Morrison then turned on Matt Riddle and rammed him face first into the ring post, threw him back inside the ring, covered him for a near fall. Lashley was still down on the floor. We got a nice offensive back and forth series between Riddle and Morrison, which just made me want to see more singles matches between them. I wouldn't mind seeing them one-on-one, possibly now for the U.S. title, which I'm getting to that. So Riddle, well, Lashley came back into the ring. Riddle hit him with a ripcord knee, hit a floating bro. Morrison then attacked Riddle, got him out of the way, hit Lashley with Starship Pain, barely. Starship Pain, I mean, look, it's one of these moves that it looks nice and pretty when he's floating through the air, but realistically, he barely hits his opponent. It really, even when he was doing it in Lucha Underground, when he was doing it early in his first run in WWE, it just does not look good. It does not look good. I'm sorry. But he hit him with, kind of hit him with Starship Pain. And he kicked out. So MVP is now yelling at Morrison from the outside. He's talking shit to John Morrison. John Morrison gets, upset by this. He tells him to shut up. Then he goes outside to confront MVP. And he steals his crutch. This is an injured man. He's a one-legged man, and he steals his crutch right out of his hand, brings it into the ring. Now, remember, triple threat matches are no disqualification. So he swings the crutch, Lashley ducks it, and he puts him in the hurt lock. Now, the crutch is on the mat. Matt Riddle comes in, grabs the crutch, smashes it over the back of Lashley, takes Lashley out of the picture, and then he hits the bro Derek to John Morrison to win the United States Championship. Now, somebody in the chat remind me, please. I don't remember. I was trying to think when Lashley won the U.S. title, because he's had it for a number of months now. When did Bobby Lashley win the U.S. title? How long has Bobby, I'll ask Bobby himself, but he probably doesn't know. How long has Lashley been the champion for? I've been talking about this on my podcast. They have kept this guy strong. And I've been saying it every week, right? I was saying it earlier today on episode 692. There is a reason that this company has been keeping Bobby Lashley as strong as they have. They were building to something. And what have I spent the last couple of weeks telling you people? They could be grooming him to contend for the WWE title at WrestleMania when it didn't look like they had any real plans for Drew McIntyre. If they're not going to go with Sheamus, who are they going to go with? I say, Bobby Lashley should be in the mix. His name should be in the mix. Okay, everybody is telling me payback. So about 6 months. That's a decent amount of time. Payback. 6 months as the United States champion. And it comes to an end here without him being pinned. They protected him in that way. Now, I think that title would have gone to Keith Lee. If Keith Lee were on this show tonight, I believe that Keith Lee would have been the one to walk out with the United States Championship. And not Matt Riddle, most likely. But Matt Riddle got the title. I thought the match was good. I would go probably 3.5 out of 5 on the match. Let me make this point about Morrison. They really ought to reconsider sending Taya to NXT. I mean, it's a done deal. She signed an NXT deal. you know, maybe that's where she wants to go. I don't know. But I wish they would reconsider. And this is one of those rare cases where I would actually rather see her on the main roster as opposed to NXT, because I think she has potentially more value to the main roster than she would in NXT, where the women's division is already stacked. I mean, they are stockpiled with great talent in that women's division in NXT. But I think her and Morrison together, again, every time I would see them at other promotions on TV, they just, they're a very entertaining pair. And I think that having seen Morrison now on the show, apart from The Miz, right, he was in the Fatal 4-Way on the kickoff show, he was in the Triple Threat match here, and I think it really hit me when I was watching him in there with Riddle. John Morrison is really good, and it's easy to forget about that because he's doing all the silly stuff with Miz, and he's almost like a background player sometimes to The Miz. And, you know, he's not getting any younger. I would like to see him get a run of his own, a singles run. Go on a singles run apart from The Miz. Whether you split them up or they just kind of go off and do their own thing. And to bring Taya in and pair her off with John Morrison and give Morrison a push as a singles on his own. And if it's on Raw, you know, Taya, God knows the Raw women's division can use some new faces. She would be a fine addition to the Raw women's division. So I really wish they would reconsider that. So Lashley lost his title without being pinned. He was very upset. And you kind of thought, maybe this is not the last we're going to see of him tonight, but you weren't really sure. We'll answer that question here in a little bit. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. This was a late addition to the pay-per-view, so late, in fact, that they only added it on Friday night. This match was added to the show. And a little strange, because Lana and Naomi already earned a women's tag team title match. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez in NXT, they won the Women's Dusty Cup. They're going to be getting their title match in a couple of weeks. But before them, Sasha and Bianca, who were not a team, became one for one night, and they got a tag team championship match. So that's how we ended up here where we are. Before the match, Kayla Braxton was interviewing Banks and Belair in the back. Reginald, Carmella's sommelier, who has been infatuated with Sasha, hanging out with Sasha, bringing champagne to Sasha. He was there, and he promised to get his best champagne ready for when they won the tag team titles. Give you one guess as to what happened. So the babyfaces had the early advantage in the match. Nia caught Sasha and threw her at Bianca. Bianca caught Sasha and then used Sasha as a weapon. Sasha's tiny. Used her as a weapon on Jax. So they were doing... They wanted you to be aware of how strong Bianca Belair, although apparently not strong enough, and I'll tell you why here in a second. Heels took over. They were isolating Sasha Banks. Shayna Baszler was working over Sasha's arm. Banks rocked her with the knee, and Bianca hit the KOD, but Nia broke up the pin attempt. So Bianca attempted to lift Nia Jax. She was attempting to pick up Nia Jax, and she could not do it. Now think about that. This is a woman who was able to pick up Otis, but she could not pick up Nia Jax. Jax hit a Samoan drop on Belair. Banks made the blind tag and hit the Meteora for a near fall. Here comes Reginald. Here comes Reginald with his, I'll just pretend that it's, this is not champagne, but pretend it's champagne. He's bringing his finest bottle of champagne down to the ring. Now ask yourself this question. If this guy wanted to celebrate, why is he coming down in the middle of the match? The match is not over. But he came down, he wanted to help Sasha. And he is watching what's going on here. So again, that didn't make any sense at all, right? Why would he come down in the middle of the fucking match? Sasha has Nia in the bank statement. Nia gets to the ropes. And now Reginald wants to help. So he rolls the champagne bottle into the ring to Sasha. Sasha picks it up, and she doesn't want to use it. See, now, heel Sasha Banks. She would use it, but Sasha's not a heel. Although she is best as a heel. And I feel vindicated because Steve Austin agrees with me. I watched the beginning of the Broken Skull Sessions with Austin and Sasha a little bit earlier today. And Austin said the same thing. He goes, I like you as a babyface, but I love you as a heel. The woman is a natural heel, but she will not use the champagne bottle. Referee sees the bottle in her hand. He doesn't disqualify her, but he takes it. And with the referee distracted, right? So he's distracted now. Sasha is distracted. She gets clobbered from behind by Nia. Nia hits her with a Samoan drop and pins her to win the match. So Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they retain their titles. They will defend, unless they lose them this week or next week. They will be the ones defending the tag team titles March 3rd on NXT against Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Reginald was very upset at costing them the match. Bianca yelled at him when the match was over, and that was it. That was it. Now, it is possible that on TV this week, this could all be revealed as one big setup. Carmella orchestrated the entire thing. I don't think that's what they're doing. I mean, I don't know if they're doing that. I don't know why they did the segment on Friday night, maybe just to throw us off, where Carmella was very upset with him. But however this ends up, I watched the end of this match. And the match itself was nothing special. It was a match. But the finish sucked. The finish of this match absolutely fucking sucked. And it sucked for a whole multitude of reasons, but their grand idea was to pin the women's champion on this show based off of a distraction. A distraction from a Cirque du Soleil performer, a dancer. This was their great idea on this show. To pin the women's champion. Is Nia Jax going to get a title shot now? I sure as fuck hope not. I mean, she's on the other brand anyway. Not a fan of when they pin the champion. Or if the champion gets pinned, then the person who pins the champion should get a title shot. And of course, Nia is not even on the same brand. So that was their grand idea. Good job, guys. Way to go. Good job. MVP was shown in the back talking to The Miz, and the Money in the Bank briefcase was very prominently featured in the camera shot, and that would come into play. They didn't do that by accident. This was obviously setting something up for later in the show. And I say later in the show, but it was main event time. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, that's it? No complaints out of me. Headed for an early night. Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Sheamus, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, and Kofi Kingston. Sheamus won the gauntlet match on Raw Monday night. That earned him the right to enter the chamber last. So we already knew that. They opened with Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. So we're partying like it's 2008, baby. We're back to the Royal Rumble in 2008. Some things never change. Kofi Kingston from inside his pod as Randy Orton comes in, and Randy Orton is taking his time. I'd say about 18 minutes went by from the time Randy Orton entered, and he surveyed every pod. He took his time, and then he posed. And Kofi Kingston is looking at Randy Orton. He's telling him, man, your quads look thick. Your quads look thick. Look at it. You must work out. You don't miss leg day. You must do squats. Kofi seemed obsessed with Randy Orton's legs. I can't say that I pay too much attention to him, but then again, I mean, the guy never wears pants, so I guess Kofi Kingston would be able to observe that the guy has strong quads. I thought the first few minutes of this was pretty dull until Drew McIntyre entered, so he was the first person out of one of the pods, and we got the fresh match, finally. We got the fresh match here in this chamber of Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton. Now, that's what I'm all about. I'm all for the fresh matches that we've never seen before. Give me some McIntyre and Orton. Can't wait until one day we get John Cena coming back and to wrestle Randy Orton. You would think after all these years that enough time has gone by, but I still don't want to see that match. I meant what I said, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago on this podcast when I said, if I go another decade without seeing John Cena against Randy Orton, it will still be too soon. So I don't want to see that match either. But McIntyre lawn darted Jeff Hardy into one of the pods, and he told the cameraman who was standing right there, he clearly told the cameraman to move. The cameraman really did not move and just barely avoided the impact, and then Drew McIntyre said, I told you to move. Orton went on the offensive. on McIntyre for a few minutes until Kofi Kingston entered. Some history there with Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston. They didn't go at it very long, though. He very quickly eliminated Orton with a shock pin. It wasn't even like a roll-up or he hit a big move. It was almost like he just kind of fell over on top of Orton and pinned him. So I think the shock of this was as much how it happened as much as the fact that Randy Orton just got pinned out of nowhere by Kofi Kingston. This was quite the shocking moment. I mean, it was to the point where I thought maybe it was botched. I don't think it was. But it shocked me that Orton went out the way he did, and it shocked me that he went out without any interference, any appearance from The Fiend, from Alexa Bliss. That surprised me. So Orton was gone. He was stunned. He hit Kingston and Hardy with RKOs. Omos, AJ Styles' bodyguard, his heavy. As this is going on, Omos is on the outside. He removes the plexiglass from the back of AJ's pod. He breaks it. He pulls it off. And that allows AJ to exit his pod early so he can circle back around to the front of the chamber. The door has been opened so Randy Orton can leave. And AJ Styles slips in through the front door. And he tries to pin Kofi Kingston very quickly. But Kofi kicks out. Tries to pin Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy kicks out. Adam Pearce comes out. He's very upset about what Omos has done. And he ejects him. Now, Omos could have killed the man where he stands. Adam Pearce is very fortunate. But Omos took his leave. He was gone. We never saw him again. Drew McIntyre. One thing about McIntyre in this match. He definitely had more of a mean streak. You know, he was showing more. You know, he had like the angry face. He was very upset. You know, obviously by what happened on TV, and he was throwing guys around. He suplexed Kofi Kingston against the chamber wall. He gave AJ Styles a high back body drop. Back body dropped him into the heavens. So McIntyre, he looked good. He looked good in this match. Sheamus finally enters. McIntyre is standing there. He is waiting for him, and they come to blows in the middle of the ring. They start throwing bombs. There was a spot where Kofi wiped out all four other men in the match doing a truss dive off the roof of one of the pods. And I tweeted this out during the show. I said, and I know I'm asking something that is just a little too logical. Whenever you try to apply logic to these shows, it's a bad fucking thing to be doing. But I said, why would they all just stand there and catch him? When they could all just sort of part the Red Sea and let Kofi just splatter on the mat. And then one of them can pin him and eliminate him. It is an elimination match. Why would they stand there and catch him? I guess you could say that about any dive spot. But I'm reminded of a battle royal they had on AEW Dynamite a few weeks ago, where at the very beginning of the battle royal, I think it might have been our Isaiah Cassidy at Private Party, went up to the top rope. And he did this big diving splash off the top rope. And everybody just sort of stepped aside. And he crashed and he burned. And I laughed. And I said, you know, that makes sense. They should have just let him crash and burn. And then they could have pinned him. But no, they all stand there and they catch him. So he wiped everybody out. It was a moot point anyway, because Sheamus caught Kingston with a brogue kick and pinned him. So, again, so much for doing anything on the Ali story. I am amazed. I mean, that just seemed, it was like such a layup. It's like, it was such an easy story to tell. Ali himself has brought it up on television. I doubt anybody of any real authority in that company even pays too much attention to these Ali promos. When he goes off in Tropicana Field, he was in the dugout a few weeks ago taping a promo, and he's alluding to storyline stuff from two years ago. When he got hurt, and he got bounced out of the chamber, and Kofi took his spot, I doubt Vince McMahon even gives a shit. Who? It's probably one of the writers, or they're just giving Ali the leeway to go out and talk about whatever. But I like that, because it actually draws upon history there that has led Ali to where he is now. Ali formed this faction. He's pissed off at the world. We've been done, grave injustice has been done against us. Look what happened to me. Well, here's the guy who replaced him, And there's no, not even an attempt. Retribution is in the building. We know they're there. Retribution is in the building. No attempt is made to ruin Kofi Kingston's opportunity. Stuff like that. It's just, it's mind-boggling. It's really mind-boggling to me. And they actually mentioned it on TV, and they just didn't do anything to follow up on it. Twist of Fate to Sheamus by Jeff Hardy. Twist of Fate to Drew McIntyre. Twist of Fate to AJ Styles. And so Jeff Hardy now pulls his shirt off, and he's heading up top for the Swanton Bomb. Up goes Jeff Hardy onto the roof of one of the pods. But instead, he decides to jump off onto McIntyre and Sheamus, who are on the outside of the ring on the platform, so he wipes them out. But then he goes back to AJ. He goes up top. He connects with the Swanton Bomb. But when he gets up, he eats a Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre. And bye-bye, Jeff. Jeff Hardy is out of the Elimination Chamber. Sheamus hits White Noise to Drew McIntyre. Styles then hits a springboard onto Drew, but he was going for the 450. Didn't quite get the full rotation, so it almost looked like he did a springboard Swanton Bomb onto Drew. So what do you do when you fail? You get up and you try again. And this time he hit it, he hits the 450, gets a near fall. Now at this point, I made a note on this on Twitter, because I didn't know if I was the only one who saw this, and then other people chimed in and said they saw the same thing. Around this time during the chamber, I could see in the background, and some people said they saw it even on top of some of the pods, on the roof of some of the pods, confetti. You could see confetti falling, and that right there should have been a telltale sign that something is going to happen at the end of this show. But you can see little pieces of what looked to be confetti falling from the ceiling. So Sheamus is working over AJ for a while. He sets up for the brogue kick, but Drew is back, and he hits Sheamus with the Future Shock DDT. So now he's setting up for the Claymore kick. Drew is ready to just finish this thing off. Sheamus catches him, though, with a brogue kick. And as soon as he hits him with the bro kick, here comes AJ Styles with the phenomenal forearm, and AJ Styles pins Sheamus. So the final two in this match were not McIntyre and Sheamus. The final two in this match were McIntyre and AJ Styles. AJ is on the apron. He's setting up for another forearm, but as he is coming in for it, Drew hits a Claymore kick. Claymore kicked him right out of midair, and he pins him. Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship. And as McIntyre is celebrating his victory, and they're showing replay of the finish of the match, and again, Drew is so happy, he's exhausted, he went to hell and back, right, to retain his championship. All of a sudden, Bobby Lashley spears Drew McIntyre. Too many spears in this company. You notice that? We go from too many ninjas to too many dives. Too many spears. Now, Goldberg was the man when it came to the spear. He really was the originator in many ways of popularizing the move. So we give him a break, right? Goldberg, the spear is his move. Roman Reigns has been using the spear for a long time. But you've got Goldberg, you've got Roman Reigns, you've got Edge, you've got Bobby Lashley. So when we talk about a battle of the spears, right? WrestleMania now, it's going to be Edge and Reigns. Battle of the spear. Everybody has the fucking spear. So what's the big deal? There's no point in even calling it that because everybody uses the move anyway. I had forgotten that Lashley also uses that move. But Lashley is beating this guy all over the ringside area. So they've raised the chamber, right? In the background, the chamber now is up. They're outside the ring and Lashley is ramming the back of McIntyre's head into the side of the announce desk. Throws Drew back into the ring. And he puts Drew in the Hurt Lock before finally giving him a Uranage slam, slams him down. Sure enough, because you were just waiting for it, right? Everything seemed to be set up. You knew it was coming, but you kind of hoped. I hope not. But from the moment we saw the segment backstage with MVP and The Miz, you knew it was coming. And there's The Miz's theme music. And out he comes with his Money in the Bank briefcase. He is here to cash in Money in the Bank. He's going to cash in on a wounded Drew McIntyre. Miz immediately hits a DDT. And Drew McIntyre kicks out. So they wanted to give you that little false finish. I remember they did that with Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio when Ziggler cashed in. Remember he hit the Famouser? And then he went to pin Alberto Del Dipshit, but Dipshit kicked out. They wrestled for another, I don't know, minute or so. And ultimately Dolph won anyway. So they gave him a kick out here. But then he immediately hits the skull-crushing finale. And The Miz. The Miz is once again WWE champion. The Miz. The man who has been feuding with Bad Bunny. Man who has been punked out by Bad Bunny. Is now the WWE champion. Heading into WrestleMania. Biggest show of the year. Right? Big. Big show. I don't mean like big show, but like big show. Big show of the year. So, there was a time where, many years ago, when The Miz was WWE champion, it was nice at that time that they were giving somebody new, somebody younger, chance to run with the title, and it made for a great story, right? When Miz came in, nobody liked him. The people he worked with didn't like him. They kicked him out of the locker room. He was some reality show reject. They didn't respect him. But over time, he earned people's respect. And he won lower, he was a tag team championship and a U.S. champion and an intercontinental champion. And he worked his way up the ladder. And there was a period of time where Miz is the champion. It was like, all right, this is somebody new. Miz has been with the company now for a very long time. And my issue again is you look at the way The Miz has been utilized on TV for the last year. And the fact that they would put the WWE title on him now is astounding to me. But I don't for a second believe that he is going to WrestleMania as the WWE champion. I do believe that the Rabbit and Damian Priest are going to be tag team partners at WrestleMania, and I believe their opponents are going to be The Miz and John Morrison. I believe that is going to be a match one of the two nights this year at WrestleMania. Well, if that's the case, then what do they do with The Miz? Or, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you have The Miz defend the WWE title against Bad Bunny? How about that? Right? I even floated the idea during my predictions earlier today. People were getting on me about Bad Bunny. I never said a word about hating Bad Bunny. I have no hate for Bad Bunny. It's not about him. The issue that I had, it was about something else. It was about Drew McIntyre and the fact that they didn't really seem to have a firm plan for him this late in the game heading into WrestleMania, but they did for the celebrity. But, yeah, I was suggesting for all the people who were messaging me going, oh, you do realize that Bad Bunny, you know, he's got like tens of millions of views on his videos, and he's got, you know, 30 million followers on Instagram, and he generates all of this money. Well, okay, great. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, by that logic, he should be holding every title in the company. Now he's in perfect position to challenge for the WWE Championship. And you know what? As I sit here and I talk about this, here's one thing I would not put past this company to do. Now, I've said that I don't think The Miz is going to WrestleMania and defending the title. But The Miz has the title for at least a few weeks, maybe a month. Maybe he'll drop it at Fastlane. I would expect him to drop it no later than Fastlane. But they love the bunny. WWE loves the bunny. Michael Cole was practically creaming himself on television tonight as he talked about the bunny. He was practically hopping around as he was talking about the bunny. I do not put it past this company because they think it would be good publicity to book a WWE title match on television between The Miz and Bad Bunny. So we can sit here and joke about it. Oh, what are they going to do? They're going to do The Miz and Bad Bunny? Yeah, not a WrestleMania. You don't think they would not consider the idea with the way these two have been going at each other on TV and insulting each other, and they've had this issue now for a few weeks? You don't think that they wouldn't be interested potentially in booking a television main event on Raw because God knows the fucking Raw ratings have been in the toilet? You don't think they wouldn't consider booking The Miz against Bad Bunny in a match on TV? We could very well end up with that match on television in the next few weeks. I guess the question is, if The Miz pins him, does The Miz then become the 24/7 champion? Because remember, Bad Bunny has the joke belt. He's got the comedy title. Here's what I think happens. I think what we saw tonight with MVP and The Miz was an understanding. We're going to come to find out on Raw tomorrow night that there is an understanding between the two that I'll send my man Bobby Lashley out there to beat down Drew McIntyre. I will set the plate for you to go and cash in your money in the bank and win the WWE title. In exchange, you give Bobby Lashley the first crack at the championship, or you give him a crack at the championship. And I think that's the arrangement that we're going to come to find out that they have made. Now, forget The Miz for a second, because The Miz is not going to be the champion for any lengthy period of time. But let's talk about Lashley for a second, because for all the faults, things that they did with Lashley since he's come back to the company, I mean, let us never forget the stuff with Lashley's sisters and, I mean, the guys, you know, Lashley and Lana and the wedding shit. He's done a lot of fucking atrocious things on TV. But I will give the company credit for the last 6 months. And the Hurt Business was one of the best things about Raw last year. One of the only good things about Raw last year. The way that they have booked Bobby Lashley for the last 6 months, they have booked this guy like, they call him a destroyer. They've booked him like an unstoppable force. And they protected him tonight to a degree by not having him pinned. He lost his title, but he really wasn't beaten for the championship. I think he's done with the U.S. title. There'd be no point almost in even putting it back on him at this point. You found a way to get it off of him. But I think if ever there was a time for Lashley to go ahead and contend for the top title, this is it. It feels like this is the time. They need to get that title off The Miz as soon as possible. Maybe the Bunny will cost him the title. That could then set up the tag team match at WrestleMania. The title should end up on Bobby Lashley. You could get the title on Lashley and have Lashley defend against Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. And then the question at that point is, do you take the title off Lashley so quickly? Because you know what? You know, he probably could use a decent run with it. I would be a little hesitant to put the belt on him and immediately take it off. But you've built this guy up so much, there's only one place for him to go, and that is to challenge for the championship. Otherwise, you're going to completely undo all the work that you've put into building this guy up over the last 6 months. So that's how I see this going. I think Miz is going to lose to Lashley. The Rabbit may be involved. And I think Lashley may be the one defending against Drew at WrestleMania. But I think the end result here is the Miz cannot go to WrestleMania to defend the WWE title. If The Miz goes to WrestleMania to defend the WWE title, then you know what? You found your opening match. You can curtain jerk and open the show with that. Because you ain't going to put that in the fucking main event. I don't care if you have one night. I don't care if you have two nights. I don't care if you have a whole fucking month of WrestleMania. That is not a WrestleMania main event. I'm old enough to remember when the WrestleMania main event actually felt like a big deal. It actually felt like a main event. There's nothing about The Miz right now. Just talking about his booking here. I'm not trying to knock the guy personally. There are things about The Miz that I like. But I cannot, in any situation, envision a scenario in which it seems appropriate for him to be in that position on what is supposed to be their biggest show of the year. It is a joke. You've turned the WrestleMania main event potentially into a fucking joke. It all comes down to booking. Here's the Twitter poll results. Wow. It's a pretty even Steven here. We've got almost 2,000 votes in already. Go ahead and vote at Solomonster. Only 35 of you, 35%, that is, say thumbs up. 32% thumbs in the middle, 32% thumbs down. That is as even a poll that I have ever had, probably with three options in it. 35, 32, 32. Look at that. That's not good. But, you know, the chamber, it's a shame because the chamber matches I thought were very good. If you just judge it based on the chamber matches, that's the whole point of the show, Elimination Chamber, I thought the chamber matches themselves were actually very good. And the U.S. title match was fine. the women's tag team title match. It was a match. There was nothing offensive. Well, the ending, I guess, but there was nothing in terms of those matches that was offensive in any way. So it's too bad, you know. I can't really sit here and tell you how what a great pay-per-view this was. You're going to see a lot of people tonight who are going, oh my God, I didn't see that finish coming. What a great pay-per-view. It was a totally unexpected finish. Remember, unpredictability doesn't always equal quality. Just because something happened that shocked you doesn't mean that it was a good thing. But the one good thing that could come out of this is if they at least get that title onto Lashley, because that's one person who they have done a good job of booking. You could put him and Miz side by side, and you get two. I mean, you couldn't have two more diametrically opposing stories of how to book somebody. Because Miz has always been the chicken shit heel. Lashley is booked more like Brock Lesnar. Right? More like Brock Lesnar. So they're two different personalities anyway. But at least if they can get the title, if the Miz is a transitional champion and they get the belt onto Bobby Lashley, then that is at least an acceptable outcome to this. But when you're this close to WrestleMania, and it feels to me like it's just a lot of flailing their arms around. Like, I don't believe for a second that they had this in mind for the last 3 months or 2 months or 6 months or whatever. How do you not have all of your key plans locked in? You know, but again, you're going to get a lot of people who are very excited about this. Oh, it shakes things up. Shakes things up. Okay. Let's take a look here what you guys thought of the show here tonight. Tim, by the way, Tim DeWolf, thank you very much for the $11. Ryan Spies, Bad Bunny against The Miz for the belt at WrestleMania with Bad Bunny going over. Not a WrestleMania, but I the more I talk about it out loud, I do think that they may make the attempt to put that match together on some other show between now and WrestleMania. Because they think it's going to get them so much publicity. We'll put Bad Bunny in the ring for the WWE title. These fucking people, I mean, there's no telling what they're capable of. They'll do anything. They're celebrity whores. So if they think it's going to get them media attention, then hey, that's all that matters. It could very well happen. Sean D, I know how you feel. But I'm so happy Miz is champion now. It feels like this year of making him the butt of the jokes was finally worth it. Well, sure, there you go. Yeah, okay, there you go. It's nice to see somebody who has made the butt of all the jokes is now your world champion. So congratulations. I'm glad you got your wish. Desmond Brasco. It will now be The Miz against Bad Bunny for the WWE Championship. I'm glad that we're all on the same page here. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the 10 spot. I get that Miz won't be champion for long, but I hate the neglect for Drew McIntyre as champion. First, he has no opponents. Then he loses to Randy Orton just to win it back 24 hours later. And now, The Miz. Well, look, if you're a Drew McIntyre fan, then I think what you can hope for is that they did this so that at Raymond James Stadium, he can get his big championship win that he was deprived of last year. Remember, he won the title in an empty warehouse last year. No fans, they weren't even pumping in crowd noise at that point. So again, if you're a Drew McIntyre fan, you can only hope that they did it to set up another win for him. Jacob Barnes, they couldn't even give Cesaro a one-off world title match on a B-level event that he would not have won anyway. Plus, the match against Bryan and Roman was absolutely pointless. It does stink that it does not appear like Cesaro is even going to get that one title match. I figured they would give him the one tonight. Or they could have done it at Fastlane if they wanted to. And it does not look like he is going to get it. But you know what? Any kind of little Cesaro push, which I don't believe is going to last very long. I'll take it. At least the guy is getting some spotlight shown on him for a change, and I think we could thank Daniel Bryan for that. You know, obviously Daniel Bryan is a big proponent of his, and this is like his little pet project. I know it's Daniel Bryan. I don't need a dirt sheet or a website to tell me that, because how long has Cesaro been in this company now? I think this year he's been in the company for 10 years. All of a sudden, Cesaro is getting a little push. It just so happens that it's coming at a time when we've heard that Daniel Bryan has creative influence on SmackDown, so put two and two together. It's the only reason why he's getting a push. This company doesn't give two shits about Cesaro. This will run its course in a matter of weeks or a few months, and he'll go right back to where he was before. So my advice to all the Cesaro fans out there, enjoy it while it lasts. We might get some really good matches out of it. If it's him and Seth Rollins at Fastlane, that could be a really good match. I don't know where he would fit in the WrestleMania plans. I would hope they have something lined up for him, but I would think that once that match with Rollins runs its course, it's probably not looking too good for Cesaro. Oofman Entertainment, who are you? You're the Sala Monster, damn it. Yeah, I forgot my own name. I was so frazzled at the beginning of the stream, I forgot who I was. I forgot where I was. Who am I? John Falchetta, women's tag match was great. I wouldn't use that word. Nia didn't even botch it up. And as far as The Miz goes, bro, bro, swerve, bro. Sean D, if it makes any difference, I am excited. Good sir. Good, good. I'm glad. The comedic genius. My God, what has happened here tonight? Joey Styles' voice. Miz deserves it. Bad Bunny against Miz at WrestleMania. Book it, Vince. TH Revolution with the $12. I thought the WWE Championship Chamber match was really good. Rest of the show was meh. Have no idea how to feel about the end. Lashley beatdown was great, but I have no clue where you go from here. The only way to go from here is to get that title onto Bobby Lashley. That's how you get there. The only question from that, do you have The Miz drop the title to Lashley, and then Lashley defends against Drew, or do you have Drew get it back and then defend it against Lashley at WrestleMania? But I don't think you want to take it from Drew, put it back on Drew, take it away from Drew, put it back on Drew. You know, so if it's going to end up back on Drew, then, you know, you got to let him run with it for a while. But you got to strike while the iron is hot. And right now, it just feels like this is probably the biggest opportunity that Bobby Lashley is going to have to hold that top title. I feel like for him, it's now or never. You know, he's in his mid-40s. How many more years are you going to be around doing this? Who knows? I think it's a now or never scenario. Jacob Barnes, they couldn't even give... I mentioned that already. Although I loved his super chat so much, I was going to read it again. James Hollins, are you disappointed with no Fiend appearance? No, I'm not disappointed. I was surprised. There's a difference. I have grown tired of this Fiend shit, I'm sorry to say. It just does not have the same spark that it once did. They've kind of killed it for me. So, not disappointed, but just surprised. Very surprised that there was no, even Alexa, they didn't do anything. Orton is eliminated, he leaves, and that's it. Every segment that Orton is in on TV, there's something with the Fiend or Alexa Bliss, but on the pay-per-view, there's nothing. That was what I found surprising. Dino, so great, 5,000 after this show. I am completely done with the WWE. It is total trash to me. I will proudly continue to watch AEW. Keep on the good content. Sala Monster. Cody Moore with the $9.99. Where does Kevin Owens go from here? He is my personal favorite superstar. Well, I hope that he doesn't slide down too much. He is going to slide down the card. He is done with the Universal title. There's nothing left. It's like a piece of meat. It is bone dry. They have exhausted every ounce of meat on the bone. It is time for him to move on to something else. As a babyface, I don't know. I think of Sami Zayn, and it's been some time since we've had an Owens-Zayn feud. They could always do something with Owens and Zayn. If they're not ready to turn Kevin Owens heel, because a heel Kevin Owens could always challenge Big E, you know, for the Intercontinental title. Not at WrestleMania necessarily, because I think that's going to be for Apollo Crews. So it really depends on what do you do with him face and heel-wise. Because as a heel, it might open up some more potential matches for him. You're not going to do Owens and Rollins. That's been done. As a babyface, I think it's harder. It's harder to kind of come up with an opponent that makes sense for him. Random human. Lashley as WWE champion with MVP doing promos will be more entertaining than Drew McIntyre as champion. Representation matters. Also, Sami Zayn is the GOAT. Markel, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate that. James, again, The Miz against Bad Bunny. Oh, boy, we're getting a lot of Miz and Bad Bunny super chats. Greg Steiner with the $5. No message, just showing some love. James Adams just wanted to say, Cameron Grimes to the moon. Hey, maybe they'll call up Cameron Grimes. You can do Kevin Owens and Cameron Grimes feud. Jake Rohald, hello, Solomonster. Pain to watch the pay-per-view on a Monday morning out here in Sydney, Australia. All the best, and thanks for the content that you produce. Thank you, Jake. Dop Dop with the $5. I really enjoyed the SmackDown Chamber match. Do you think they are building to a Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens match? Also, do you think NXT is in need of top stars? I don't think NXT is in need of just bringing more main roster talent to NXT. They have so much talent in NXT, they don't even know what to do with them. You're going to bring people in from the outside? Or bring people in from Raw and SmackDown? So, no. I don't think they have to do that. Jey Uso is an interesting opponent for Kevin Owens. We still don't know what the status of Jimmy Uso is. I was kind of hoping we would get Jimmy and Jey against Edge and Christian, maybe, at Fastlane, but... Yeah, again, even that, though, even Kevin Owens and Jey Uso, I mean, it's been done so many times. I mean, at what point do you say enough is enough? You know, if they want to give both guys a singles match on the card, then that might be the one. That might be the one. JKin62, what is the Russo monster think of the show? Bro, don't even get me started, bro. Don't even get me started. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the 10. Actually, thank you for the 20. Wow. I appreciate it. Erasmo Solis. I have always had a blast watching both chamber matches every year. The positioning of this show is weird. The Elimination Chamber should be a big deal and does not need to be stuck. Okay, he says stuck. In between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Maybe make it a regular for SummerSlam. I mean, my idea from like a decade ago on the podcast was to make War Games an annual Survivor Series tradition. Just do away with the elimination matches and just make War Games 5-on-5, Raw versus SmackDown. And that could become the annual Survivor Series thing. They didn't do it. NXT took the idea. So maybe you do a chamber at Survivor Series. SummerSlam does not need the chamber. Royal Rumble does not need the chamber. WrestleMania does not need the chamber. If you wanted to incorporate the chamber into an existing show, like one of the big pay-per-views, then Survivor Series would be the one. They're not going to do it. But SummerSlam doesn't really make any sense. Joe Olivo, The Miz, is WWE champion. What the hell is going on? I think now at WrestleMania it will be The Miz against Lashley against McIntyre for the title. Well, that, you know, I hate it when they do the multi-man stuff for the top titles. And if you have four guys or three guys who are big enough names and it really feels like a big enough match, you know, you might be able to do it and get away with it. But my God, I mean, am I wrong in thinking that Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and the fucking Miz in a triple threat match, does that scream WWE title match to you at WrestleMania? Just do McIntyre and Lashley. Why does The Miz even have to be involved? You may be right. Maybe they're setting up for that. But I don't like it. Jared M., thank you for the $40, brother. Appreciate it. Dry chicken without flavor. Too many dives, too many ninjas, too many kidnappings, too many Canadian destroyers, too many pregnant reveals. I agree. Jay Baker. Tonight's show was trash. Wow, he did not like tonight's pay-per-view. Hope Miz drops it tomorrow night like Kane did to Steve Austin. James Holland's The Miz against Bad Bunny in a title unification match. Ah, there you go. Now you've hit on something. I didn't think about that. You can unify the WWE title and the 24/7 title since they're basically on the same level now in terms of who's holding them. So why not just merge them? Like, even physically, you can merge them. You can fuse them, and the WWE title can have, like, a green leather belt, like a green leather strap now. Sure. Absolutely. You may as well. John Cena's bald spot. Thank you for the $5. That's awesome. Lashley against Brock is what he is looking for the title around SummerSlam, and have a fit pitch match somewhere in the... I don't know what that means. But Lashley and Brock is a match that Lashley has wanted for years. Don't know if it's ever going to happen. John Falchetta, Lashley against Brock title match at WrestleMania. Sheamus against Drew. So I guess he means Sheamus against Drew non-title. Dominion Warrior, Reaper's Trident was a dope spear. Anyway, who's the best world champion right now? Personally, he thinks it has to be the Chief on SmackDown, although Ibushi is good. Ibushi is better than good. What's the best chamber match that is not 2002? He says Roman is better than Omega. Well, you took my answer away from me. I was going to say 2002. I don't know. They said tonight we had Elimination Chamber matches number 27 and 28. There have been 28 of them. I have memories of a few of them. A lot of them, to me, just sort of blend together. It's been a while since I've gone back and really gone on a binge of chamber matches. I remember really enjoying the one a few years ago where Bray Wyatt won the WWE title. That one would be pretty high up on my list. But as far as what the number one would be after 2002, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But, I mean, who's the best world champion right now? I mean, look, Roman Reigns is great in that role. Kota Ibushi, I'm a fan of Kota Ibushi. He hasn't been champion for very long. Hard to say that he's the best champion right now. But it's all such a subjective thing. I say like whoever you want to like. You want to like The Miz? Go ahead. You want to like Bad Bunny? Go ahead. Michael Cuomo, this was a pretty short event, to my surprise. Misty Cat, thank you for the $10. They have had celebrities headlining WrestleMania before, though. The first WrestleMania ever had a celebrity in the main event. That is true. Absolutely. And Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper are the reason why I'm even streaming right now. I don't think we would even be here talking about this. WWE would not be having these events were it not for the involvement of Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper in the main event of that first WrestleMania. You were right. Cannot put Bad Bunny on that same level. Bad Bunny is a big star, but you're comparing, it's like comparing apples and oranges here. My issue is not the involvement of celebrities in wrestling. There have been some really great celebrity angles in wrestling. One of my favorite ones was when they brought in Floyd Mayweather, and they had that confrontation at No Way Out, and Floyd Mayweather punched him in the face a whole bunch of times and ran off. Remember the blood pouring out of Big Show's nose? Mike Tyson, right? One of the premier celebrity involvements in WWE history. But things like Mr. T and things like Tyson, it's almost unfair to even compare them. You know, it's like night and day. Because those were celebrity involvements that actually made a difference in the company. And in those cases, helped lead to a big boom period for the company. Or they took their existing top star, like Hogan in 85, Austin in 98. Both of them would have been big, you know, the top stars in the company anyway. But it just gave them a credibility that helped elevate them to another level. There is no celebrity involvement right now in WWE that is going to do that. It's just not going to happen. It's a different era. You know, back then it was the era of the superstar. Hogan was the larger-than-life star. Austin was the larger-than-life star. John Cena was probably the very last one. John Cena may have been the last one that we will ever have in WWE because it is not about the individual stars now. It's about the company. Bad Bunny is not there to you know, give a boost to their top star. Maybe Damian Priest will get some rub out of it, but he's not their top star. But you can't really compare, you know? And there have been some pretty shitty ones too, right? Lawrence Taylor, who, you know what? I can't even really crap on the Lawrence Taylor one too much because he did as good of a job as he could. I actually think the angle they shot that set the match up with Bam Bam, the angle they did at the Royal Rumble was really well done when he shoved him. That had no business headlining WrestleMania, though. That was a fucking joke. Didn't work either. WrestleMania 11 did not do very good numbers. So, yeah, you've had your good celebrity involvement. You have your bad celebrity involvement. I will take Bob Barker over many of the celebrities that WWE has brought in. Bob Barker is one of the great celebrity success stories from that guest host there. In fact, he was the best guest host they ever had on Monday Night Raw. Bob Barker. Samoan fan. Last time Lashley was world champion, he was the ECW champion. So basically, he was never the world champion. He was a champion in Impact. The ECW title in WWE was a fucking joke. It meant nothing. So I don't want to hear from people, oh, whoa, Matt Hardy was the world champion at ECW, and Christian was the world champion at ECW. ECW title meant nothing. Meant absolutely nothing. Adrian Moore, if WWE doesn't care, why should I? Good question. I don't have a good answer for you. Magician Sapphire, buy or sell for worst celebrity program currently in wrestling, Shaq against Cody. In AEW or Miz and Bad Bunny in WWE? Well, you just reminded me now of Shaq and Cody. I'm not really a fan of any of this shit. So, I know why WWE is doing it. Bad Bunny is a big star. I know why AEW is doing it. Because contractually, Shaq has it in his contract, because he said as much in an interview many months ago, when he renegotiated a new deal with Turner, that he wanted to have some kind of involvement with AEW. So they're going to do their match on television in a few weeks, and it's either going to be a fucking disaster, or it potentially could end up being somewhat entertaining. But do I care about Shaq being on Dynamite? No, I don't give a shit. Do I care about Bad Bunny being on Raw? I could not give a fuck. But if you do, more power to you. More power to you. None of this shit is going to do anything to bring in new fans. But if it entertains you for a few weeks on TV, then hey, don't let me ruin your enjoyment of the angle. You go ahead and enjoy. Hitting Dave. What if I told you in 2015 that Miz and Roman would be world champions in 2021? Roman would not have surprised me at all. Roman would not have surprised me at all. John Falchetta to Cesaro is the current day Arn Anderson. Underused. He's in much better shape than Arn Anderson ever was. Dry chicken, I'm sorry, but Cesaro made the wrong choice to re-sign with the company. He will not be a main eventer. Change my mind. Hey, even if Cesaro had left, he wouldn't be a main eventer there either. You think he's going to go to AEW and be a main eventer? Go to New Japan and be a main eventer? I just would have loved to have seen the guy, you know, get out of the company and work with other people. He made the choice that he did. He made the choice that he felt that was best for him. I never was under any kind of illusions, though, that he was going to go somewhere else and headline. People said the same thing about Miro. Oh, Rusev, I can't wait for Rusev needs to leave, and he'll go main event. How's that working out? How's that working out so far? Playing video games with Kip Sabian and doing more shitty wedding angles on TV. Oh, yeah, that's working out real well for him so far. But, hey, if he's happy, that's fine. But people have these illusions that they're going to leave WWE. And all of a sudden, these people are going to be competing for world championships. More often than not, that's not how it works out. They just want to get the hell out of there because they're creatively stifled, or maybe they don't like the travel, or they just want other people to work with, whatever their issues are. A lot of these people, they leave the company. They don't go on to become main eventers somewhere else. Some people do. But if Cesaro were to have left and did not re-sign, I don't think he would have been a main eventer anywhere. No one is saying that he has to be. Just give the guy a chance. That's all I've ever wanted for the guy, was just give the guy a chance. He can get over if you just give him the opportunity to get over. Misty Cab, by the way, forgot to add, do agree with you that celebrities should not headline WrestleMania, but they have done it before. Okay, so the point that Misty Cat is making is that we should not be so dismissive of the possibility that Bad Bunny could very well... Now, that depresses me very much now that you've mentioned that, because there is a precedent for this. You are correct. There is a precedent at multiple WrestleManias, in fact, where they have had celebrities wrestling in the main event. It's happened twice, right? At least twice before. Or do you count The Rock? When The Rock came back to wrestle John Cena, he was a pretty big celebrity, right? What do you consider that to be a celebrity involvement at WrestleMania? I don't. The Rock is always going to be a wrestler first to me. The Murder Hawk, Lashley wins the title and gets the match he came back for. Brock Lesnar. Careful what you wish for, because if they do that match, it ain't going to end well for Bobby Lashley. Frost 757, The Miz had you go in Eminem mode in the beginning. PW Hustle, thank you for the $5. Pedro Velasquez with the 10. What is the greatest botched that you have ever seen? Botched what? Botched move? Botched booking? You got to specify. People say John Cena and Batista in 05. Also, if Triple H wants to wrestle again, he needs to face Shane. I definitely agree with you on that. I don't know. I almost feel like that ship has sailed. They could still do it. I mean, I proposed that idea years ago when Shane first came back. They could still do it. It's probably the only thing involving the McMahons that would really interest me at this point, because there's so much to tap into there. You know that there's some resentment. And I think if you turned it into a storyline, people would believe, you know, they would buy into it very easily. It's not hard to think that Shane McMahon has to harbor some kind of resentment towards Triple H for kind of worming his way into the family, into the... position to potentially inherit control, which will never happen because Vince McMahon will never cede control. And I'm convinced at this rate that Vince McMahon probably will never die. I don't know, best botch. I mean, I wouldn't mention any injuries or anything, but I guess I don't know. I don't know if there's a single greatest botch. Well, you know what? I guess it's hard to beat the Shockmaster. Yeah, I mean, how do you top that? I would say probably the Shockmaster. John Cena's bald spot. Back again with the $2 super chat. Meant to say fight pit match for Lashley against... Okay, fight pit. Fight pit. Yeah, that would be interesting. Like a Lion's Den type of match. I think that's an NXT thing. I don't think they're going to bring it to the main roster, but I wouldn't mind that. Ian Noel, Camelotes with the $20, one of the most interesting elimination chambers that they've ever done. Two wrestlers having two matches involving the title on the same night. Both Brian and Drew had to pull sort of double duty. PW Hustle, who do you think, other than MVP, is... Bobby's benefactor backstage? I know Pritchard worked with him in Impact. Hey, A-Track, what's going on? I don't know if you mean like almost like a mentor to him or something, or someone who's sort of, you know, like backing him. I don't know if Heyman was one of his advocates behind the scenes, you know, when Heyman was on Raw. So Paul Heyman could be one, but I don't know. I don't know, but whatever he's doing right now is obviously working. So whether that is a Pritchard thing and whether it's someone else who just suddenly took a liking to Lashley and said, hey, we ought to push this guy. I don't know if there's any one person who's responsible for that. Maybe it was Vince McMahon. Who knows? Tokes Kazim. Lashley against Brock against Drew. Battle of the Giants. Vince's dreams and desires. I could see that. Shane Hughes. Just found out Miz won on my birthday. What a rocky day for me. Keep up the good work. Sala Monster. Well, happy birthday. Samoan fan, The Miz against Yoshihiko, the blow-up doll at Fastlane. You may as well. Why not? It's, everything's a joke anyway. J Rhino 8, would you change the Money in the Bank contract at all? Would I change the Money in the Bank contract? You know what I would maybe do is I would consider not doing it every year. I would consider not doing it every year. Maybe you do it every other year or something. It's one of those things where, you know, unless you have a really good idea for it, and there were some clever ideas over the years, but now it's like everything else, right? It's like Hell in a Cell. Oh, it's October. We have to do Hell in a Cell. Oh, it's February. We have to do the Elimination Chamber. There are just some gimmicks where to do them for the sake of doing them, if you don't have a good idea for it, it just sort of bastardizes the concept. I feel like we've probably reached that point with Money in the Bank already. So, I mean, I wouldn't get rid of it. Would I change any of the rules about it? You know, one thing that is not clear to me is, are you allowed in storyline to cash in on any title that you want? They've never actually come out and said that. They just sort of, I don't know, they sort of mold and shape the rules as they see fit. They had Miz on TV last week putting both champions on notice. So that told me that he could come out and cash in on Roman Reigns. But they don't really make the rules clear. I would make it very clear that just like the Rumble winner can pick any champion they want to wrestle, the Money in the Bank winner can cash in on any champion they want to. And not just the world titles. Any title. Any title. And cash in on the 24/7 title if they want. I don't know what other changes you would make to it. ZOMG Ruler, do you think Bow Wow will actually go to WWE? Well, look, he's training with Rikishi. So if he puts the work in, then he's serious about it, then I'm sure WWE would love to have him because they love their celebrities. Chris Quillman with the $5. Thank you, Chris. 561 Mexico. Got an idea for a new shirt for you to sell on Pro Wrestling Tees. Too many blank with your face on it. I don't think anybody is buying a t-shirt with my face on it, but thank you for the idea. I appreciate it. Ryan, Asuka's booking deserves a dark Asuka's booking deserves a Dark Side of the Ring episode. I love it. That's the best super chat all night. Asuka's booking deserves a Dark Side of the Ring episode. And not untrue. Domination Warrior, put Bad Bunny against Snoop Dogg, Shaq, and K-Fed. Yeah, what is K-Fed up to these days? You don't hear his name mentioned. If you heard that last album of his, you would know why. Jacob Barnes, buy or sell on which WrestleMania was worse, WrestleMania 27 or WrestleMania 32? Which WrestleMania was worse? I would say probably 32. 27, at least, had what I remember to be a pretty good CM Punk Randy Orton match, and it had a great Triple H Undertaker match. So I might go with 27. 27 had one of the worst main events, if not the worst main event, though, that they've ever done. Which, ironically, involved The Miz when he was WWE champion. Oh! Oh! It's funny how that works. I forgot to mention that. That is one of the worst WrestleMania main events the company has ever done. Now, The Miz was still... I guess he wasn't really new at that point, but it just didn't feel like a WrestleMania main event with him there at that time. The match itself was nothing special. Now he's been there forever. He is at least a little more established. But it's very interesting that you bring that up. Let's see. Zach Jones. Chris, thank you. If I didn't mention that, Chris, thank you for the $5. Zach says, before I turned your stream on, I was also watching the Sasha interview. And I heard her mention that she did not want to do bra and panties matches. Am I a bad person for wishing that she would do it once? Well, you're a man, and so that's probably why you feel that way. She did tell a story about when she came up with the name Sasha Banks, which was a combination of a few names she came up with. One had Sasha as the first name. One had Banks, I think, as the last name. Somehow they got fused together. And she loves the name. It's a great name. But her mother hated it. Her mother called her up and said, no, you've got to tell them to change it because she thought it sounded like a porn star's name. Which, honestly, it kind of does. And it does remind me of that one time Michael Cole on TV accidentally referred to Sasha Banks as Sasha Gray. So we know what some of the tabs are that are open on Michael Cole's laptop. We know what he was doing now on that Raw General, that anonymous Raw GM laptop. Sasha Gray. I see you, Michael Cole. Tokes. Was that a second one? Thank you. If you super chatted twice, thank you twice. Brian Blair. Let's not forget to point at the stupid WrestleMania sign now. How many times did you hear championship opportunity? Vince loves his phrases, wish he would shove them up Nia Jax's hole. You and me both. Turtlehead. Miro is fine. Did you really want him to run through the entire roster and end up wrestling Mox for the belt? Like Brody, his time will come. Okay. I didn't say his time wouldn't come. I just said he was still doing goofy bullshit on television, which is the last thing he was doing on WWE television, and it illustrates a point that just because you leave WWE does not mean that you are immune to doing silly stuff somewhere else. That's the point that I was making. Frost, what do you think is one of the biggest choke jobs in wrestling? The entire invasion angle. That was the most expensive, costly choke job in the history of wrestling. Keyshawn Gatewide. Lashley needs to win the WWE belt ASAP. The Raw side of Mania is looking trash. Dry Chicken, WWE superstar, should play How to Piss Vince McMahon Off Intentionally. PW Hustle, I wanted to let you know I reacted to the opening of tonight's review. Sorry about not getting your permission. Say the word and I will take it down ASA. I don't know what are you talking about? Oh, like a reaction video? That's fine. Ian Noel, the rules are still they can cash in on any title except when they do the brand split. Then it is any title on that show. That said, would you prefer Money in the Bank only at WrestleMania instead of its own pay-per-view? Yes. I would. Although, you know, Money in the Bank, though, the thing with Money in the Bank, it is the one newer gimmick paper. I say newer, I mean that's not like the Rumble or Survivor Series. It's one of the newer gimmick shows they've done in the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, that actually on its own feels special. Even more so than Survivor Series. Money in the Bank, I think years ago, kind of replaced Survivor Series as one of the big five pay-per-views each year, big four, big five. I guess with King of the Ring, it used to be five. So it's kind of overtaken Survivor Series in a way. I would absolutely, though, not do Hell in a Cell as its own standalone show. Hell in a Cell, TLC, those do not need to be standalone shows. Money in the Bank, I mean, I would like to maybe see it go back to being a WrestleMania feature, but then you got to do two of them. You got to do a men's, and you have to do a women's. And then it just, you know, now you're just, it just doesn't work. Because you got to put at least six, right? Six or eight people in each match. But you need to fill up the rest of your WrestleMania card. You're going to put half your roster in the Money in the Bank matches. So it doesn't really work. Amari Johnson, can you rank these titles in order of their value? Which one feels like it matters? WWE, Universal, AEW, NXT, or NJPW? Well, I mean, you know, you're asking on a personal level as far as what I think has the most value at this time, at this moment. The Universal title is elevated pretty high up there because I enjoy what they're doing with Roman and the way that they have, you know, portrayed him on TV, and I'm a big fan of what they're doing with him. The IWGP is number one. IWGP title is in the A spot. I would say probably Universal would be in the second spot, strictly because of what they've been doing with Reigns. And as far as number three, you know, I don't know. It might be AEW. NXT is pretty close. Finn Balor has done a good job. I've enjoyed the work that Finn Balor has done. But I think I would probably go IWGP, Universal, and then AEW. Andy, when is King of the Ring? Sick of seeing Corbin in the crowd. King of the Ring is whenever they need a gimmick for TV and they feel like doing it. I don't think we got one last year. Right? I think Corbin's been king for like 2 years now. Year and a half. CJ LaChapelle, who do you see Bayley working with at WrestleMania? Don't know. Unless they work her into the women's title match, I really would rather they stick with one-on-one Sasha and Bianca. I think that's the match to do. We haven't seen Bayley really kind of feuding with anybody or teasing anything on TV. I think we have to wait a few weeks. We'll probably know within a few weeks if she's doing something with another woman on the roster. That could be a match that they're building for. There's no obvious match right now for her. And a dry chicken says, would marry Maki Ito. Yes, I said it. Yeah, Maki Ito seems to be everyone's favorite right now. She's everyone's favorite for the time being. Then everybody will find a new favorite. That's always how it works. The fans are very fickle. You people are very fickle. You have your likes. Oh, I love this person. And then a few months later, I can't stand that person. It's like me with The Fiend. There was a period of time where I was a big fan of what Bray Wyatt was doing with The Fiend, and I thought it was very clever and very creative. And there are aspects of it, Funhouse, that I do still enjoy. But my God, I mean, you talk about the difference a year can make as far as my overall enjoyment of The Fiend, let's say a year ago, as opposed to now. You know, used to be way up here, and now it's come way down. It's hard for me to kind of drum up the enthusiasm to care, just based on what they've been doing. Does that make me fickle? Is that my fault, or is that the company's fault? Maybe it's my fault. But that's one example I would give. I don't know if you guys have changed your opinions of The Fiend. Fiend is not the same. Fiend hasn't been the same since losing to Goldberg, if we're being perfectly honest. Powerful One. With the Mandalorian's success and her likely dropping the belt to Bianca, I would not be so sure she's dropping the belt to Bianca. I think Sasha could be the next one after Rock, Batista, and Cena to become part-time and leave WWE to break out in Hollywood. If that happens, it's still many years away. I think Sasha has crossover appeal. I think she could be, you know, Becky Lynch had that appeal. And Becky Lynch was, you know, she did some stuff. She was on that show Billions. And I think Sasha absolutely has that crossover appeal. But if she's going to leave and go do, you know, other things, we're still many years away from that happening. Go watch the interview she did with Austin, the Broken Skull Sessions. And one of the cool things about Sasha, and I can almost understand if she had heat at one time with Alexa Bliss. Remember there were all those stories about her and Alexa, they didn't like each other or whatever. I could almost believe it because I could see someone like Sasha and what she kind of had to go through to get to where she is. She was always a huge wrestling fan. And, you know, Alexa Bliss, I think, is someone who, I don't know how early her wrestling fandom came, but she kind of ended up in wrestling. I don't think she did indies or anything. She ended up at the Performance Center. And Sasha was out there working independence and stuff before she ever came to the PC. I could see where that might cause some feelings. But you listen to her talk during the interview with Austin, and you could tell she's a huge fan. She is a huge wrestling fan. She loves this. And so did The Rock. The Rock was born into it, and now The Rock is, you know, off in Hollywood. But she's still so early into her career. You know, the crazy thing about Rock, though, when I think about The Rock, his run in WWE, that run before he started, you know, to become part-time, really wasn't that long. It was maybe a 5 or 6 year run. Sasha's been up on the main roster now for about that same length of time. I think this year might be 6 years that she has been on either Raw or SmackDown. I think it's going to be a while, though. I don't think Hollywood's going to get her just yet. Shaquan Hickman, the porn star formerly known as Sasha Banks, would be a great gimmick. And Robbie Hyde, I would love to see another Owens against Zayn program for WrestleMania, especially now that it is a different face and heel dynamic. Both men have nothing happening. Well, I mean, that's why I suggested it. It's been long enough since they've worked together one-on-one. If they don't have anything better for either guy, you got to get them on the show. Sami Zayn's doing great stuff right now. Kevin Owens was doing great stuff with Roman Reigns. I don't think that he should just be dismissed and kind of forgotten about now that that program is over. Owens and Zayn, if you wanted to do a proper singles match with them at WrestleMania, I mean, even if there's nothing on the line, I'd be okay with that. Yeah, gives them something to do. Why not? Why not? Don't forget to vote on Twitter at Solomon. Look at this. Neck and neck. 35% thumbs up, 32.2% thumbs in the middle, and 32.3% thumbs down. So it is very close. So make sure you get in on that. At Solomonster is the place to go for those of you who would like to cast your ballot as we bid adieu to the United States champion, Bobby Lashley. He is the United States champion no more. But hopefully for Lashley, he may be moving on to bigger belts. He may be moving on to bigger and better things. Because just to reiterate the point I made earlier about where do I think this stuff with The Miz is going to go and what are they going to do for WrestleMania, I think that it's going to be Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. And if they work The Miz in there to make it a triple threat, I could definitely see that. I don't want them to do that. I don't want Miz to be anywhere near the WWE title come WrestleMania. I don't think that what we saw tonight is the plan to get him to Mania. I think they wanted to shock people. I wouldn't be surprised to find out they just didn't know what the fuck to do with the money in the bank. So now he's the champion again. Congratulations. Great. Great. But Bobby Lashley is the one who should be going on to wrestle Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, since obviously we're not getting Drew and Sheamus. Poor fucking Sheamus. I mean, really, that's probably what the match should have been. I don't see any scenario now where Sheamus is challenging for the championship at WrestleMania. Are they even going to do Drew and Sheamus one-on-one? Watch, they'll give it away on Raw tomorrow. And how much you want to bet they give that match away tomorrow night on TV? So poor Sheamus he's getting screwed. He's probably getting screwed out of a title match. Ain't that right, Bobby? Pedro Velasquez, I always believe that Hulk Hogan's Hulkamania run had a bigger impact on wrestling compared to his NWO run. But my friend made a decent argument defending Hulk's NWO run. What do you think? Well, what was the argument? You said he made a decent argument, and you didn't tell me what the argument was. Is the argument that the NWO run was more impactful? Because I would disagree. The run that launched Hogan and made him a megastar. He was already a big star in wrestling, but the run that made him a megastar and a household name for a lot of people and put WWE on the map and may well have saved the company coming out of the first WrestleMania. It was that big Hulkamania run coming out of the Mr. T stuff and the feud with Piper. So all of the stuff that came after may not even happen if that doesn't happen. The NWO run absolutely deserves a lot of credit because it helped swing the pendulum in the direction of WCW at a time when they had never beaten WWE before. And WWE, for a while there, was really on the ropes. So, I've said before, whatever you think of Hogan, you will not find another star in this country who had the kind of impact on wrestling that he did. This is a guy who, in two different companies, think about this. This is a guy in two different companies. One is a babyface, and then one is a heel, who completely changed the game and impacted business for their respective company in ways that sent those companies just into the stratosphere. And he did it in two different companies over a decade apart, one as a babyface and one as a heel. That is an amazing accomplishment, no matter what you think of Hogan. You don't have to like Hogan. You don't have to be a Hulkamaniac, brother. But that is something that nobody else will ever be able to do. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for that alone. It's pretty incredible to think about. Having two different runs. I mean, you would be lucky to have one. You would be lucky to have a single run like that in your entire career. This guy had two. It's amazing. Charlie Duncan, do you think McIntyre will be forgotten about now? No, I don't think he'll be forgotten about. I'm trying to stay positive here. I don't think Drew worked his ass off to get to the level now that he has finally reached, and they've invested a lot of time in him over the last year since he beat Brock Lesnar, and he's beaten a lot of guys. I don't think that they're giving up on him. I don't think he's going to go away. I don't think he's going to be competing for the U.S. title. But, this booking is very suspect. Jamin John, little off the subject, did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and thoughts on Tarantino's controversial interpretation of Bruce Lee? I did not see it. So I have no comment on it. I did not see it. Johnny A, if Bad Bunny beats Miz for the belt, is it the end of WWE? Sadly, it is not. It should be, though. If Bad Bunny wins the WWE title from The Miz, then this company should go out of business. I'm kidding. I don't want people to lose their jobs. Only the people who actually book that shit. They should lose their jobs. I hope those people lose their jobs. All the wrestlers, though, they should keep their jobs. No, it is not the end of WWE. This is what happens when you have guaranteed contracts with NBC and with Fox, and you have a deal with Saudi Arabia. And you have guaranteed money streaming into the company. This is what happens. You could have Vince McMahon wipe his ass in the middle of the ring, and it wouldn't make a difference. They would still make money hand over fist. Literally. He could take one of these little porta potties, and he could sit and he could take a dump in the middle of the ring and wipe his ass on live television. And you still, by the way, would have fucking bozos in the front row. Ooh, they would still be bowing to him as he wipes. It wouldn't make a difference because they've got money coming in no matter what. That was the big drawback when I heard about the Peacock deal. Another $1 billion coming into WWE. Well, that's great for the company's bottom line, but it sucks for the fans in this one way because there's no incentive. There's no creative incentive for them. If you are one of these fans, longtime fans, who is disenfranchised with the product, you keep hoping against hope. What did I say years ago? Why do you keep watching Solid Monster? The two H's. I watch out of habit, and I hope it gets better. Habit and hope. And I know there's a lot of you out there who are the same way. And for all of these people who want so badly for Monday Night Raw, for example, right, to get better, what incentive is there? They keep having money thrown at them. Like a stripper. Why would they change? What's the incentive for them to change what they're doing? That's why deals like that are a horrible thing for the fans. Because if you're one of those fans who isn't happy with what you're seeing on TV, well, too bad. Because they're making money anyway. They don't give a shit about you. You're not the one paying their bills and paying the contract. I mean, you know, that they could do almost anything. Vince McMahon could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. Nah, whatever. Where have I heard that before? Zachary Francis, thank you for the $5, my friend. Would you say that wrestling is becoming more difficult to watch these days? Is it becoming more difficult to watch? There's more wrestling now than ever before, if you think about it, right? WWE has more wrestling than ever. 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of this, 2 hours of that. There's a second NXT show coming soon, NXT Evolve. You have AEW. AEW has a second television show. At some point, they're going to have a second television show, plus Dark. You've got, you know, Ring of Honor is still doing their thing. Impact is still existing and doing their thing. New Japan. We had Lucha Underground. Now we don't, but you have MLW. And, you know, there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of options out there. I don't know that I would say it's more difficult for someone like me who wants to consume more but just doesn't have time. So sometimes I just get overwhelmed. Like, I want to watch this and this, and I'm like, I just don't have time. In that respect, I guess it's difficult. Raw is absolutely a difficult show to watch. Raw, I've said before, Monday Night Raw is the worst weekly wrestling show on television. It is very difficult to get through the entire 3 hours. But I usually don't have that issue with SmackDown, NXT, you know, Dynamite. I mean, there are weeks where the shows aren't that great. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's plenty of good wrestling that is very easy to watch if you know where to find it. So, anyway, thank you guys for all the fun here tonight, hanging out with me. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the, I think we had over 21 or 2,200 people joining us a little bit earlier. We still got a whole ton of people, 1,700 or so joining us live. I have enjoyed hanging out with you on a Sunday night. I hope you have enjoyed this recap. I had to calm my nerves there at the beginning of the stream because I was still in a state of shock by what I had seen. But to sum it all up, the Elimination Chamber matches were very good. The Elimination Chamber finish, not a fan of putting the title on a joke character, which is what The Miz is. This is what the WWE title for at least a few weeks has now been reduced to. It's sad. It makes me very sad to see that, but that's where we are at this point. But you can rest easy knowing that I don't believe The Miz is going to be WWE champion at WrestleMania. But of course I say that, and now I have people telling me, well, it could be a triple threat match. And if it's a triple threat match, what if The Miz enters as the champion and then loses to either Drew or Lashley? You know what? I don't even want to think about this anymore. I can't. I can't even deal with the thought of it. I just can't. Why don't you make... You know what? If they were going to put the title on The Miz, right? If they were just going to turn around and put the title on The Miz, why did they take the Money in the Bank briefcase off of Otis? Why not just keep the briefcase on Otis and let Otis cash in and become the champion? Since it's a joke anyway. I mean, why did they have to take the briefcase off Otis at all just to get it onto The Miz? Now that we see what they did with it. I think the problem is that they think we're just a bunch of idiots. But if you pay attention week to week to week every month on TV and you look at what they've done with Miz, you know, I mean, come on. How do you look at that as anything other than what it is? And then you'll have people who say, oh, you're overreacting. You can't win. You can't win with some people. But look, if you enjoyed the show, congratulations. It was certainly a surprising finish. I didn't think Miz was going to cash in. Or at least not successfully. But we have a new champion. Roman Reigns is still the Universal Champion. If you missed episode 692 of the podcast, another nearly 3 hour show, went up earlier today. Please go back and check it out. It was a good show. I'm going to be live again Wednesday night talking AEW Dynamite. Don't forget to check out the interview with Chris Van Vliet and I, which I think turned out well. That's going to be dropping on Tuesday and then dropping on YouTube a few days later. And as always, next Sunday, episode 693 of the podcast, I'm going to be back with you again. You can find clips of the shows here on the channel. All those platforms you see there on the bottom, that's the easiest way to get the show. Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, whatever works for you. We're everywhere. We're on Amazon Music now. We're on Amazon Music now. And you can get 30 days free, in fact, of Amazon Music. If you're into that sort of thing, just use our link. GetAmazonMusic.com/Solomonster. It's just that simple. You can get 30 days free. Just like that. Boom. On the podcast. Love giving out free shit. What's not to like? Brian Blair says, yes, if Vince took a dump, you can better believe that Bruce will be there to wipe his ass with $100 bills that Pritchard would immediately stuff in his pockets. Well, it is the Bruce Pritchard way. You sure he wouldn't have his nose buried up there? I don't think anything would be able to come out. Not with that beak buried up there. And Zachary, I don't know. I haven't done too many collaborations recently. But we usually collaborate when we do commentary for HOG. Just waiting to see when House of Glory might start running shows again. But, you know, JD does his thing. He does great stuff. It would be more a matter of, I think, timing or whatever. I'm not opposed to it. I just barely have enough time to do my own stuff. So, but if you never heard our commentary, we do, we do commentary together. You can go on the HOG YouTube channel. They probably have some old matches and some shows from a couple of years ago. You can hear us doing commentary together. I do miss that. Hopefully we'll be able to get back to that at some point later this year. In commentary for House of Glory. Frost wanted to know if I would ever become a manager in wrestling. I'd love to. I would love to. Yeah, Heath Slater is going to be undergoing surgery on March 1st, I believe. He's all fucked up. He's got a couple of bad hernias. There was some other muscle, I think, that he pulled off the bone or something. So he's having everything done, I think, in one fell swoop. So I imagine he's going to be out for several more months. So hopefully, you know, all goes well with his surgery. KC says Solomonster could manage Bow Wow in his WWE title match. Sure. I don't think Bow Wow needs anybody to do the talking for him, though, right? He's been talking a lot of shit to the wrestlers on Twitter. He doesn't need me. Mads, thank you for the super chat. Is Sasha and Reginald and Bianca, is that story heading to a love angle? Oh, God, I hope not. Jesus Christ. Don't even will that into existence. I'm done with this Reginald shit. Enough of this garbage. Sasha and Bianca do not need this shit to build. You know, they try to get too cute. It's like when they did the stuff with Triple H and Jericho and their and Triple H and Stephanie's dog. Remember that? Lucy the dog that Jericho ran over with his car or something like that. They get too cute for their own good. Remember when they put Deborah in the Austin Rock feud to build up to their match at WrestleMania? Which ended up being one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. They didn't need Deborah. You know, sometimes these matches don't need all the outside cute shit. You can get some compelling television out of it by just building a natural, a natural feud between two people. Why do we need the Cirque du Soleil guy doing, wacky bumps and serving champagne every week? Who gives a fuck? Get him out of there. Get him out of this feud. Does not need to be involved in this. Rhea against Bayley is what Casey wanted to know. As far as an idea for her at WrestleMania, I think Raw needs her more than SmackDown does. But yeah, I could see that Rhea and Bayley. I think that would be a great match. Is that a Cloverfield poster behind me? Yes, it is. Good eye. Very good eye. 1-18-08. It's got the premiere date on there and everything. One of my favorite movies. All right, guys. This has been fun. I appreciate you hanging out with me and spending time on a Sunday night. Always enjoy getting your messages hope you enjoyed the stream. I hope you enjoyed the pay-per-view, even if you didn't enjoy the finish. And again, check out all that cool stuff I talked about earlier. I'm going to be back with you on Wednesday night. I hope you'll join me live. We do these live streams every week. We do them every month for all the pay-per-views. So Revolution in a couple of weeks. That's going to be on March 7th. I'm going to be right back here as soon as the show is over, talking about the AEW pay-per-view. Barbed wire exploding death match between Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. Somebody might die on the AEW pay-per-view. Poor Renee Young is going to give birth to this kid. This kid may not even have a dad. This kid may be orphaned, depending on what happens in that main event at Revolution. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Fastlane in a few weeks. And we got WrestleMania after that. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up as we continue to roll on the road to Mania. Oh, thank you. Silver Rules, put the link in the chat. Get 30 days free of Amazon Music. That's very nice of you. There it is. The link's right there in the chat, guys. Every time you click that link, it helps the podcast out. So go ahead and do that. And hit that like button on the way out, because that does help. It does help the videos. You know, you see the recommended videos on the sidebar. So hitting the thumbs up button actually does help out a lot. So for the people who do that, I thank you. And I'm going to get on out of here. Have yourselves a great night. Be well. Stay safe. Check out 692 from earlier today. Hit that like button on the way out. And come on back Wednesday night. We'll talk about Dynamite. Take care, guys.